And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert for December the 8th, 2016, the second Thursday of Advent, and today is the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. I'm Dave Slade, your Cradle Catholic, here in the studio with Dan Walker. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
And joining us by the phone is the convert, Mark Barthelemy. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Dan and Dave. How are Mark? You?
Doing fantastic. We miss you there, buddy.
Oh, man, that's sweet.
Oh, that's sweet. When are you coming back to town, Mark?
Hopefully be in Christmas Day.
Oh, okay, good. So we'll have you back for the shows the first of the year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, but it's good that we can have you with us by phone this morning. We got a few things to talk about on today's show. We're going to talk about what the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception actually is. We're going to talk about Advent and what we're just beginning. We'll be previewing the third week of Advent Gospel. And if you guys don't mind, you know, yesterday I was asked, I was very honored to be asked, to speak to a group of veterans and families and friends at the lake in the Pearl Harbor Commemorance Ceremony. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about Pearl Harbor and my Uncle Jim Slade, who was at Pearl Harbor and ultimately was at the signing of the treaty in Tokyo Bay. Any objections to that?
No, not at all.
No, Mark, and you knew my Uncle Jim real well, so we'll be able to discuss that. I think what we should get into here first thing is a little discussion about the Immaculate Conception. You know, a lot of people get confused when they think of the Immaculate Conception because they think the Immaculate Conception was the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. But that would be incorrect. The actual conception was the conception of Mary in her mother's womb, being conceived without sin. You know, God's plan to bring the Savior into the world was to bring Jesus into the world through an immaculate vessel, a perfect being, something without sin. And that's how Mary, and this was God's plan, was conceived without the stain of original sin. Now, you know, the angel, when he talked to Mary, he called her, he said, "Hail Mary, full of grace." And sometimes people have trouble understanding what full is. You know, if I had a ball jar here and I put all the marbles I could put in that ball jar, do you think it'd be full?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, if I took a bag of BBs and poured the BBs in around the marbles, would it be full?
Sure.
Mark, you think it'd be full?
Absolutely.
All right. So now I'm going to bring in a little bag of sand. And I'm going to fill the sand in around the marbles and around the BBs all the way to the brim. Now, that's got to be full, right?
Yeah.
Nope, now I got a glass of water, and I'm pouring the water into the sand, and it's covering the BBs and it's covering the marbles. It's now full. That's what full is. You know, our impression of full was maybe when the marbles went in or the BBs or the sand. And finally, the water, when nothing else can be put into that jar. It was like Mary's soul. Mary's soul was pure. It was full of grace. No room for the sin. No room for, original sin or sin during her life. So she was immaculately conceived. And some of the old writings place her parents as Joachim and Anne. So what we're celebrating today is the solemnity of her conception without sin. And it is a day of obligation. We have to attend Mass today. You could have gone last night today, or there's some evening Masses too today. And when we get to the community calendar, I'll see if I can find those.
Do you by chance, I might throw you for a loop here, when did this holy day become about? How early in the church? Do you know?
I think it was celebrated fairly early in the church. Now, I know like the Assumption was really a later, it was known of earlier, but not made a dogma of the church. I'm not sure about the Immaculate Conception. What we do know for sure is that when Mary appeared in Lourdes to the kids or to Subaru, she said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And people had not really been familiar with that term until they, you know, did some studying on it. So she declared herself the Immaculate Conception.
Where was that? She's appeared, what, three times, four times?
Oh, my goodness. Well,
numerous.
Actual church, you know, approved appearances. There's Lourdes. There's the one in Portugal that I'm looking right at the thing here and I can't see. Fatima. She appeared in Wisconsin at Our Lady of Good Help. One of the main appearances of the Blessed Virgin was in Guadalupe in Mexico, where she appeared to Juan Diego and left us the beautiful tilma that still hangs in Mexico City.
And that's a huge celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah,
I saw a special on that.
And she is the patroness of the Americas, Mary is. And, you know, the Immaculate Conception. You know, Mark, you know about the tilma, don't you?
Yes.
And they have studied that tilma, trying to figure out how that image was emblazed onto that, that I guess you could almost call it a cape.
Yeah, the cloak.
There is no ink. There is no paint. There is no substance known to man that has made that image. And that image was made on a cloak that really should not have lasted the 500 years that it's lasted. It's an amazing thing.
Well, and look at the shroud.
Yeah, they've really gone on to say that the shroud is... recently, I know Drew has talked about that. It's they've really confirmed now that they believe that's it. I've been handed my computer here, and it says that the Catholic Church teaches as dogma that the Virgin Mary was immaculately conceived in November of 1950. She wasn't conceived in 1950.
It was became.
That's when it was.
I was going to say, whoa.
That's when it was recognized.
There's something I didn't know.
Yeah, that's when it was recognized. Okay, so we're also going to talk about the third week of Advent with the reading there. And we're going to take a short break and catch our breath right here on the Cradle and the Convert, 88.9 and 96.5 with Dan Walker and Mark Barthelemy via telephone. And we're going to be back right after these messages.
And now WDCR presents a reflection for our second week of Advent. This abridged reflection, Four Gifts for You This Advent, from Loyola Press, is entitled Finding God, Our Response to God's Gifts. Gift 2, God's Words of Comfort. In early adulthood, a woman began to find Christmas a great letdown. People talk about the magic of Christmas. At that time in her life, the magic seemed to have disappeared. Christmas began to seem just like any other day, only one with a lot of additional obligations and emotional demands. Ironically, her sense of holiday malaise began to ease when she accepted that Christmas is, in one respect, just like any other day. She can recognize the coming of Christ into her life and into her heart at any moment, any day. Christ's coming wasn't limited to that one single day when the magic had to happen. In fact, she came to realize that it wasn't about magic at all, but about reality. The true meaning of Christmas is grounded in the profound revelation that God so loves us that He chose to dwell among us both in Bethlehem and today right in our families. She came to see how, in Isaiah's words, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed," whenever she is willing to prepare the way of the Lord into her life. For each of us, making a straight path in the wasteland usually has to do with quieting your mind and opening your heart. The gift for the second week of Advent is that God speaks a reassuring word of comfort in the midst of our discontent and longing. In this quiet season, a season we tend to fill up with a lot of noise and frantic activity, make time daily to listen for the comforting words of God in your life. Create a daily gratitude list. Set aside 5 minutes each morning or evening and take a few deep breaths. Start jotting down whatever comes to your mind that you are grateful for. With a heart full of gratitude, everything else in our lives will change. We will begin to see, even in the demands of our Christmas preparations, the real purpose of those efforts. celebrating the Lord's arrival in our life and the lives of those we love.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. You know, that's a Mary Did You Know by Pentatonix, and that certainly gives a human face to Mary Did You Know.
It gets me in the spirit.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's one of my favorites.
It makes you wonder, did Mary know? I mean, she knew that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and she'd been, you know, told at the presentation that she would suffer as much as he did, basically, with the sword through her heart. And I guess that's when you think about the Immaculate Conception, that she was born for one purpose, and that was to be the mother of Christ.
Well, how about just her faith when the angel Gabriel descended upon her and she just accepted it with open arms and have faith? That is truly what's going to happen. Can you imagine those days?
No.
Just and then living with that. I mean, that's... Yeah, well, that's believable. That's believable.
It's almost, you'd say, boy, what a burden. But then you'd think, gosh, no, what a blessing. But
you know, one of my favorite homilies over the years about the Annunciation was the fact that Mary, what if she had said no?
Yeah, yeah. I guess she had that option, didn't she?
Well, sure. Well, and what if she had said no? How much different would this world have been? What would have happened? Would we never been saved from hell? It's an incredible, incredible thing.
Yeah, because, you know, the plan was put into effect with the birth of Eve, or the creation of Eve, really, that
right.
Mary would be the new Eve, that
right.
She would be born without original sin and would accept the responsibility of co-mediatrix by being the mother of Christ. It's
This is kind of obviously not educated comment per se, but that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve and Adam and the original sin, and he said no, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will disobey.
Yeah, they
and
did.
Mary is just the complete opposite.
Yeah, she was the new Eve.
Yeah,
you know a lot
they
of.
Had,
go ahead,
imagine
Mark.
Imagine the faith back then, though, Dave. I mean, there wasn't television. There weren't. Opinions voiced at great length of disrespect about having faith, and I mean, people lived truly by faith in those days.
Oh yeah,
and I think that's a huge difference when we try and imagine what it must have been for such a young girl to have, first of all, been approached by the angel Gabriel,
mm-hmm.
and then had this explained. I think it's so accepted in our culture today. If someone would come forward and say, "Hey, an angel came to me in a vision and told me I was going to bear this child immaculately and conceived without sin," people would, the media and everybody else would be tearing that apart.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't even listen to it in this day and age.
No, and it would take our church today years in years to probably confirm such a miracle.
Yeah.
Due to all the detail and particularity that they put in investigations of such things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Mark, I have a lot of my friends that are Protestants question me about Mary, and you know, I guess it's not extremely hard for them to believe that she was born without sin, but then they ask me, does that mean that Mary never sinned? Well, according to the Catechism, the answer is yes, because the way mm-hmm. of redemption was applied to Mary at the moment of her
right.
conception. She was
right.
not only protected from contracting original sin, but it also says personal sin. And in,
right.
in paragraph 493 of the Catechism, it says, the fathers of the tradition call the Mother of God all holy and celebrate her as, quote, free from any stain of sin, as though fashioned by the Holy Spirit and formed as a new creature, close quote. And then in bold, it says, by the grace of God, Mary remained free from every personal sin her whole life long. Let it be done to me according to thy word. I wonder if she knew she was different growing up, you know, when it came to playing with other kids and having relationships with her parents, to be free from sin for your entire life.
That's incredible.
She had to know she was different, wouldn't you think?
Oh, sure.
So it's just an amazing thing to imagine how someone, I mean, I can't go through an hour without, you know, some kind of sin, whether it's a bad thought about somebody or what it is. You know, me and St. Paul, we're the greatest of sinners, but it's just amazing to think that this human person was free from sin from birth and never sinned her entire life and was
right.
chosen, you know, by God to be the mother of Jesus. Okay, well, moving on, let's talk a little bit about Advent. You know, we're in the third week of Advent already. And this week we light our rose-colored candle on our Advent wreath. And Dan, do you think we're about ready to do a gospel preview? And
sure, let's do that, and we'll talk a little bit about Advent after that. How's that? What the third
Absolutely.
Week is and what it means and whatnot.
Yeah, I'd like to do the second reading from Mass this week, too, if that's okay.
I think it's appropriate.
All right, with you, Mark?
Yep, sounds great.
Okay, the second reading this Sunday is from the book of James. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing before the gates. Take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know,
thanks be to God.
When you talk about patience, you know, we're in the seasons of patience right now, with Advent being the season of patience, the preparation and waiting. It's just those words strike really true. Do not complain about one another that you may not be judged. You know, that's something that we certainly, this time of year, need to consider and think about.
Well, Advent is similar to Lent, you know, where we are preparing for the coming of Jesus. And so it is our mindset, and how are we going to prepare?
Absolutely. And
exactly. That's the whole point.
Yep. And so preparation, being ready, staying awake. I like that song, Stay Awake, Be Ready. I think we sing that in Advent, but I'm not sure. That'll be coming up probably this week.
I'd know it if I heard it.
The joyful. I'm not going to sing, Dan.
Yeah. You do it when we're during commercial breaks.
The Catholic
or during
Radio
breaks,
Board has banned me from singing on the air. And for
yeah,
good
we
reason.
With that.
Yeah.
And listeners, if you ever see him in person, please ask him to sing a couple songs, because he has a beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yeah, that and I can tap dance. All right, Dan, why don't you take us into this week's preview of the gospel that we'll be hearing this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent.
All right. This reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed, or blessed, is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written. Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least is the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ.
You know, John the Baptist is an interesting character. He is the last of the Old Testament prophets and really the first of the disciples in the New Testament. He really has a role in both books of the Bible. And he was kind of a character, really, if you think about it. He was out in the desert preaching. People would come listen to him. He wore camel hair shirts, you know, and ate bees and honey. He was just kind of a different fella, but he was probably like the first monastic, really, if you think about it. But people came from all over Israel and Jerusalem to be baptized by him for the forgiveness of sins.
You said monastic?
Well, yeah, the first...
Explain that. I've never heard of that
word. Monastery, the first kind of monk.
Okay.
You know, that lived by himself.
I'm a simple layman.
Well, so am I.
At least you had the brains to ask. I was just going to hide my ignorance.
Well, in this gospel, John the Baptist is asking his disciples, go ask Jesus if he's the Messiah. You know, I think John knew, but I think he wanted confirmed, and I think John the Baptist probably had expectations of Jesus other than what Jesus was doing. Like most people in Israel, they thought the Messiah was going to come as a mighty ruler and get rid of the Romans and restore the kingdom.
Well, I think John the Baptist already knows the answer, but he is putting the followers for them. Sometimes people have to hear it for themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they want to hear Jesus' response so that they too can believe. And so maybe through that exercise, they become believers.
Yeah,
and I think that's right, Dan. And I think that was his, just my personal opinion here, that was his whole point in sending them to Jesus. Because you know, when he did baptize Jesus in the Jordan at Jesus' command, that the first he said, "Behold the Lamb,"
mm-hmm.
and I am not, you know, I'm not. No, Lord, I can't baptize you. And Jesus tells him, "Yes, John,
yeah, do it for now." He says. And then,
he sees the heavens open and the dove, the Holy Spirit come down, and this is my son. Of him, I'm very proud, and so forth.
Yeah, and you know the final line in that gospel, he talks about those born among women. None have been greater than John the Baptist, yet he's the least in the kingdom of heaven, meaning that the greatest person on earth is nothing compared to the. Even if there is a least person in the kingdom, in heaven, that we have no comprehension of heaven. Because we can be great on earth, but that doesn't even touch the glory of what we'll see in heaven. You know, something...
He who is first will be last.
Something else, Mark, I want to mention, and I just thought about this the other day. You know, John the Baptist told his disciples, when talking about Jesus, that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. You remember that?
Right. Yes.
Now, it's interesting, if you think about it, that on June 24th, the Nativity of John the Baptist, the daylight starts to get shorter.
Right.
You know, it starts right there with the summer solstice. That's and right. The days get shorter and shorter and shorter until when?
December 21st.
Well, and Christ's birthday. On the 25th, the days start to get, the daylight starts to get longer and goes long. It increases until John the Baptist's birthday when it decreases. You ever think about that?
Yep.
You know, there's no coincidences in the Bible. There's nothing that somebody just makes up. And I think it's kind of neat when you think about how long the days can be as we go towards John the Baptist, and then they diminish as we go back towards Jesus.
That's a good point. I had not really contemplated that prior to now, but that's a great point.
Now, this Sunday is the third week of Advent, and that is called, what's the is the Latin word? I'm not sure.
Gaudete.
Gaudete. Because, and it means basically joy. This is the week, you know, and this is where I might start a new tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, we always have the nativity scenes for setting up at home.
Mm-hmm.
Always love the nativity scene.
Yeah.
Get the, you know, and then
sure.
we don't put Jesus there until Christmas Day. Then we, you know, put him in the manger and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more appropriate thing is an Advent wreath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, you got the three violet candles and then the rose candle.
Right.
Yeah. And every week, and just what each week, each candle represent. And say this week is the rose-colored candle, and logically you think that should be the last one, but it's the third one. And I think the gospel today, or the gospel coming up this Sunday, you know, we're lighting the candle that represents joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the joy that Jesus is coming. And it talks about John the Baptist sending the followers to go see Jesus, and the joy that they should experience knowing that Jesus is real. He is here, and be fulfilled. So I think the gospel really coincides with the lighting of the rose-colored candle.
Yeah.
So.
Well, just like it's written by, now I'm having a blank spot, the guy who wrote, this is awful, guys.
It's getting old.
Yeah,
you know what happens?
It's long distance. You know, he's
Matthew Kelly.
Matthew Kelly.
Matthew Kelly. You know,
the dynamic Catholic.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
And he talks very much about that.
Well, did you know the word Advent originated from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming? So the season of Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus. First through his incarnation, and ultimately coming in glory again at the end of time. That's something else that we have to think about in Advent, is that he's coming again.
Yes.
Right?
Did you guys, and I believe this is true, do you know what the time span is, what the four candles represent too? I believe each candle represents 1,000 years.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
I hadn't heard that.
And,
no, I hadn't either.
Well, and some listener, if I stand corrected, email us, let us know. But from the time Adam and Eve and Christ's birth, Jesus' birth, it's 4,000 years as foretold in the Old Testament. I believe that is correct. So each candle represents 1,000 years apart.
Yeah, there is genius in Catholicism.
Don't call it genius. I could be wrong.
Yeah, not to take Father Simon's line, but what we don't know, we can make up.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, during Advent, we're invited to reflect on the mystery of Jesus' birth, you know, as well as look with joy and hope towards the second coming. We're called to repent, and we do have some Advent reconciliation services that we're going to talk about shortly. We're supposed to work our way towards praying and drawing closer to serve in God. And I don't know if you've noticed at Mass during Lent, we don't pray the Gloria. Did you know that?
I knew that because I used to be in choir.
Oh, okay.
And I can't wait for Christmas Day.
Now, because, boy, that's the most beautiful Gloria.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that during Lent, we don't pray the Gloria, nor do we do the Alleluia acclamation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But during Advent, we still do the Alleluia acclamation. So, okay, listen, I'm going to take a little break here, Mark, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the Pearl Harbor Day celebration yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's very important.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a minute here to push some buttons and do some things. You can get a drink of water, and we'll be right back.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the Year for Priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar-holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
Talk radio for the Catholic life.